The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 11. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. I've noticed in the last 10 years or so living here in the community that there have probably been more banks built than new churches. We have about 100 banks in the greater Mankato area and 109 ATM machines. There are at least 50 financial investment firms that you can find. Money certainly matters to our culture and to our society and how we function. It's necessary in our world. Even Jesus, among his disciples, had one who carried a purse and took care of the financial concerns, even though they were with the Son of God himself, who, as with his divine power, could feed 5,000 people with so little. I remember the first meetings that I attended as a young pastor, as a student pastor, a vicar. Many of those meetings, it really overwhelmed me how probably 75% of the things we talked about had to do with money. 75% inside of the church. It's also a primary issue on the minds of people when they're considering a college, where to go to. Talk to the people in our admissions department. They'll tell you that one of the biggest concerns on the minds of a 17-year-old or their parents is, what kind of a job am I going to be able to get if I go to your college? How will this help me financially? What will this do for me, setting me up in life financially, if I go to your college? What kind of a degree can I get for that? In some ways, it's sort of sad that an institution like this really seeks to give you a different type of riches and wealth than just money. And yet I understand that's such a concern for us always. What am I going to do when I get out of college to be able to earn money? Jesus and his apostles often address this subject for us, as we see in the text before us, that the fact that we live in a world that functions so much on economics and things, there can be a dangerous draw to that, a dangerous luring of that for us as Christians and followers of Christ. Now let's think about the young man to whom this text was written. This was written to a pastor, Timothy, someone who dedicated his life to preaching and teaching the wonderful gospel of salvation, getting to heaven through the work of Christ, the one who preached and proclaimed the forgiveness of sins to people, all purely won for them entirely by the work of our Savior, our Lord and Savior. And the eternal riches that God offers us in his word. This was the work of Timothy. And yet God the Holy Spirit considers it necessary to write in this epistle a specific direct passage at this pastor about fleeing away from pursuing the things of this world. It's just as great a lure and danger for those even in the pastoral office. And this temptation, Paul says, is ultimately a snare which drowns men in destruction and perdition. And you can see this already very present in the very early church. We're told in our text here, some have already strayed from the faith in their greediness. Possibly some people who saw the resurrected Christ. Possibly some people who were taught directly by one of the apostles. Possibly people who witnessed some of the great miracles of the church that we see recorded in Scripture already had defected from following their Savior, already had wandered away from the faith. A lot of times we may think to ourselves, you know, man, if I had been present to see Jesus, to actually be in his presence, if I had been around him and witnessed one of the miracles, if I could have seen him having risen from the dead, how much stronger my faith would be, how much more dedicated to Christ I would be. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not. Ananias and Sapphira were probably present for Pentecost to see the great gift of the speaking in various languages given to the disciples to get the gospel message out to people. They were probably present for that. They may have witnessed some of the early miracles in the church. And one of the earliest chapters in the book of Acts, we're told about because of their greed and love of money, they were struck dead at the feet of St. Peter. Jesus' parable about the different types of soil, where the seed of God's word gets planted, talks about that beautiful plant of faith that rises up, that loves him and his kingdom and cherishes and loves the forgiveness of sins he brings to us. But he also talks about the weed that slowly grows around that plant. It doesn't choke it off right away. It just is allowed to sit there in a person's life and slowly entangles it, this love and concern about all the things of this world. Wanting to get yourself set in life can be a good thing and a God-pleasing thing. And being ready for having a future in this life. But it's also very easy for us to forget about the fact that this life's going to come to an end. And that the things of God's kingdom start there. Start with always being sure we are ready for that day. And when we're young, especially in our college years, and you got your whole life ahead of you, it's so easy to let the material things of this world consume us and start to change our priorities. We start to get fooled into thinking, well, I can chase both. I can love getting to heaven and Christ, and I can love the things of this world. But Jesus says it doesn't work like that. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or love the other and hate the one. You cannot pursue both. Jesus said once that it's difficult for a rich man to enter heaven. And that's true for all those really rich people out there, by the way. Oh, yeah? Here in the United States, if you were to measure wealth compared to around the world, we're the rich. We're the rich ones. We're the ones that are just sitting and living in affluence all around us. This is the place where it is very difficult to think and to hang on to the things of God. Economic difficulties might be coming in our future due to a variety of things that are going on in our world today. The war that's taking place over in Ukraine may have an effect in ways we didn't think about on our economy. It looks like right now we're going to be paying a little bit more for gas, and that's very upsetting to us. It might cause some inflation, and that's already starting to happen. And that can really irritate us, and it can make you feel concerned maybe as you think about graduating someday and what the job market will be like for you. But from a spiritual perspective, is it possible that God allows these downturns for us financially and economically to come into our lives as a spiritual blessing, as a way for us to re-examine what matters in our lives, what our real goals and purpose is to be in life, what really should be the things that consume the time of our heart and the desires of our hearts, to maybe refocus our priorities once again, and to go back and reappreciate what our Savior came to bring us and the eternal home that he used his precious blood to shed and pay for so that everyone in this room could someday come to heaven through faith in him. Maybe it would cause us to look at riches from a different perspective, the riches that God offers us at the table of our Lord and in the waters of baptism and in the precious teachings from his holy word. Our Lord Jesus himself owned no property. We're told he had no place to lay his head. And he even, I love the story where he was asked about paying taxes, and he even had to ask for a coin from somebody. Get the impression he didn't even have money on his person. And he, of all, perfectly loved the things of God and had the primary importance in his heart and mind of everlasting life in heaven for himself and us as well. And this is the righteousness that he came into this world to create for you and for me, the thing that we are so lacking. And yet by faith in him, he gives that to you. And this covers you now. And that's why you and I have the hope of going to heaven. And to those who've been blessed with this faith and who have been given a new perspective on the things of the world because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, God directs these words to you and me when he says, "But you, O man of God, O woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Run away from all the stuff that's going to end up in a garbage pile in this world, and run to the treasures where no moth can destroy and no thief will break in and steal. That which we have in Christ in heaven. Amen."